Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're beginning in verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 11, and we're reading through the 13th chapter. This is God's Word. "I have made a fool of myself, but you drove me to it. I ought to have been commended by you, for I'm not in the least inferior to the super apostles, even though I am nothing. The things that mark an apostle, signs, wonders, and miracles, were done among you with great perseverance. How are you inferior to the other churches except that I was never a burden to you? Forgive me this wrong. Now I'm ready to visit you for the third time, and I will not be a burden to you, because what I want is not your possessions, but you. After all, children should not have to save up for their parents, but parents for their children. So I will very gladly spend for you everything I have, and expend myself as well. If I love you more, will you love me less? Be that as it may, I have not been a burden to you, yet crafty fellow that I am, I caught you by trickery. Did I exploit you through any of the men I send to you? I urged Titus to go to you, and I sent our brother with him. Titus did not exploit you, did he? Did we not act in the same spirit and follow the same course? Have you been thinking all along that we have been defending ourselves to you? We have been speaking in the sight of God as those in Christ. And everything we do, dear friends, is for your strengthening. For I am afraid that when I come, I may not find you as I want you to be, and you may not find me as you want me to be. I fear that there may be quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, factions and slander, gossip, arrogance and disorder. I'm afraid that when I come again, my God will humble me before you, and I will be grieved over many who have sinned earlier and have not repented of the impurity, sexual sin, and debauchery in which they've indulged. This will be my third visit to you. Every matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. I already gave you a warning when I was with you the second time. I now repeat it while absent. On my return, I will not spare those who sinned earlier or any of the others, since you are demanding proof that Christ is speaking through me. He is not weak in dealing with you, but is powerful among you. For to be sure, he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by God's power. Likewise, we are weak in him, yet by God's power, we will live with him to serve you. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. And I trust that you will discover that we have not failed the test. Now, we pray to God that you will not do anything wrong. Not that people will see that we have stood the test, but that you will do what is right, even though we may seem to have failed. For we cannot do anything against the truth, but only for the truth. We are glad whenever we are weak, but you are strong. And our prayer is for your perfection. This is why I write these things when I am absent. that when I come, I may not have to be harsh in my use of authority. The authority the Lord gave me for building you up, not for tearing you down. Finally, brothers, goodbye. Aim for perfection. Listen to my appeal. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints send their greetings. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. As we've said before, Paul is writing to these folks whom he loves. Even though he rebukes them, and he rebukes them strongly, it's out of love. And he's hoping, and he says so, he's hoping that he's not going to have to deal with them harshly when he shows up in person. We said before, it's like a parent calling up the stairs, telling the kids what to do and saying, don't make me come up there. Okay? He's telling them that he's coming, giving them warning, not because he's a bully, but because he wants to be able, when he gets there, to have a nice, happy reunion. His previous visit was not like that. It had been a difficult thing, and he remembered it and didn't want to repeat that. He was wanting them to be on the right page doing the right thing. And yet, in the church in Corinth, even after the things that had happened, even after they'd seen miraculous power displayed through the Apostle Paul, many of them were not obeying his teaching. They were doing the wrong thing. What kind of stuff was going on? Well, look at the end of chapter 12, and he says, verse 20, "For I'm afraid that when I come, I may not find you as I want you to be, and you may not find me as you want me to be. I fear there may be quarreling." He says, there may be jealousy. The Apostle Paul says, that's wrong. That's got to change. You can't just accept that as being okay. Outbursts of anger. Outbursts of anger. There are people who just feel better after they've had one of those. Okay? They kind of, instead of communicating the way they should and talking with people about what's going on, they just let it build up. It builds up until all of a sudden they erupt! And they get it all out and they say things they shouldn't have said, and afterwards they will realize it, but they feel better. And they say things like, well, that's just the way my family is. All of us come from a sinful background. All of us are born by nature sinners. Then make it okay. Sin is deadly. And so he lists some more. Outbursts of anger, factions. There were factions in this New Testament church. And Paul doesn't suggest that's unhealthy. He says that's sinful. That's sinful. That is absolutely wrong. And it's got to quit. And if you don't straighten it out, Paul says, I'm going to come and it's not going to be pretty. Factions, slander, saying things about others in order to try and tear them down, especially things that are not true. But the next word might be something that is true. Gossip. And it's still wrong. I'd just like for us to pray for Harold. You know, he has a real problem with. And it's not helpful. But they're just wanting to get people praying. It's out of love for Harold. Okay? No, it's gossip. Gossip is spreading unhelpful information that may be true. Slander, generally not true. Might be a half-truth, but it's not the truth. Gossip can be true, but it's still not yours to share. Arrogance and disorder. Disorder. Not doing things in an orderly way, but instead wanting to have your own way. I'm determined to do what I want. If folks are asked, everybody please sit on this side, they want to sit on this side. Why? What's the deal? Well, I'm just more comfortable over here. Okay, fine. In order to make you comfortable, we're going to ask everybody to sit on this side. Where will they be? Over there. You know, Pastor, you didn't ask people to sit in a particular side of the room today, did you? No. I'm just trying to give you an example of a mindset that creates disorder in churches, and it is an epidemic in many circles. Paul goes on, he says, I'm afraid when I come again, my God will humble me before you, and I'll be grieved over many who have sinned earlier and have not repented. Now, he's not saying, you know, some of you have sinned previously. All of us have sinned previously. But the difference is, and have not repented. What do you do when you sin? Well, if you're a child of God, you repent. Say, God, I'm so sorry I did that. I don't want to keep doing that. Please change me. I want to live a different life. I want to be conformed to the likeness of Christ. So he says, have not repented of the impurity, sexual sin, and debauchery in which they've indulged. Well, were those people even saved? Well, they were if they repented. Because that's what God's people do. When we do wrong, we don't like it. It's not comfort in sin. Sin isn't comfortable for a Christian. And so Paul says that he's concerned he may find some folks still hanging out in church, but not having repented of impurity, sexual sin, and debauchery in which they've indulged. And then he says, I want to remind you, I will deal with this. It's not something where I'm just going to overlook it because I want things to be pleasant. He says, I am concerned that I may not find you the way that I want to find you, and you may find, therefore, that I am not the way you want me to be either. Don't you sometimes wish people would just overlook things that are embarrassing, okay? The Corinthians were hoping that maybe Paul would do that. You know we've got some problems, but hey, we had a bad visit last time. Let's have a good visit this time. And Paul's saying, that's up to you. That's up to you. If you deal with the problem, I don't have to deal with the problem. If you don't deal with the problem, I'm going to deal with it. You see, if you think that your problem is no problem, you got a problem. But if you know you've got a problem, and you know you've got a Savior, and you're saying, oh, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, then let me give you a hug.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone, to the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, look at what happens in verse 5 and following of chapter 13. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. There are people, according to Jesus, who one day will say, Lord, Lord, Didn't we do this in your name and do this in your name and do this in your name? And he says, I'll say to them, depart from me. I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. Now, if that isn't sobering to you, you need help. You and I need to examine ourselves to see if the faith we profess is genuine. Are we really trusting in Christ and out of gratitude seeking to be changed into his likeness? Or have we pretty much decided that, well, Jesus paid it all, so I don't owe him anything? Jesus paid it all. What's the next line? All to him I owe. If you really believe Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins, you owe him everything. And so the desire is to please him, to serve him, to do what he says. Will we all always get it right? No. The Apostle Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Paul wasn't perfect. Paul didn't always do the right thing. But as an old friend of mine now in heaven said years ago, I am not sinless, but I sin less. Amen? That's what we should be able to say if we're in Christ. Has that ever happened in your life? Has there ever been a change? It doesn't have to be like the road to Damascus for Paul, but it needs to be real. You ought to be able to look and see a difference between before you knew Christ and what's happened since you trusted him. If there's not a difference, you failed the test. What do I do if I fail that test? What if there hasn't really been any evidence of change? Cry out to him to save you. He's the only one who can. It's not a matter of, well, try harder. No, it's a matter of, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Change me. He says, verse 7. This is an astounding statement. Verse 7. Now we pray to God that you will not do anything wrong. What? Come on, you got to be joking. I mean, I'm a Christian, but I sin thousands of times a day. Really? I've heard that line before, by the way. Oh, we all sin thousands of times a day. Well, you must be busy. I mean, how would you possibly do that? Break it down. You know what that is? That's not humility. That's not conviction. That's a lie designed to keep you from having to get serious about the areas where you do sin. If I say I sin thousands of times a day, then I don't have to get serious about the stuff that's wrong in my life. I just, the end, and Lord, please forgive me for all my sins. Amen. And nothing changes. Nothing changes. But if God convicts you of something you've done wrong, what's your response? Say, that was wrong. God, forgive me. Please. Please. So, he says about these Corinthians, with all their history of problems, I pray to God that you will not do anything wrong. The title of the message today comes from the last part of this chapter. Aim for perfection. Again, a shocking statement, something that goes against our modern Christianized psychology that basically says, oh, you're wonderful the way you are. You just have no idea how God looks at you and just says, adorable. Okay. Oh, did you make another diaper? Oh, well, that's just great. I don't want my kids making diapers when they're 8 years old. I don't want them to still be doing that when they're 30. Let me tell you something. There are a whole lot of people who think that it's okay just to say, God doesn't care. God does care. He calls us to holiness. He wants us to be like him. And so he says to us, aim for perfection. My daughter often travels with me places, and when we go to Maryville, she'll say, don't hit the ruffles. Now, what's she talking about? Along this side of the road and down the center of the road, there are little cutouts in the pavement designed to keep people from accidentally wandering off the shoulder on this side or into the oncoming traffic on the other side. And so the idea is, if you're not doing a good job staying in the lane, you hear the sound and feel the vibration of hitting the ruffles. Okay? Why is that there to irritate me? Because I need to be more conscientious about staying in my lane. I feel like if nobody's coming, what's the big deal? That's the kind of attitude that leads to collisions. Okay? So I need to aim to stay in the lane. Okay? If you don't aim to stay in the lane, you will be all over the road. Have you ever seen anybody like that? They just didn't feel like it was important. It's no big deal. You know, they've got a big vehicle. If they hit anybody, they'll be all right. There are a lot of people who are very careless in the way they live their life. A lot of people who claim to be Christians who feel like because God's grace is so magnificent, it's okay for us to just ignore what he says. Listen to what he says to you and to me this morning. Aim for perfection. Now, does that mean we should become totally neurotic people who are like, oh gosh, I can't make it through the day without failing to do something I should do or doing something I shouldn't have done or having at least several minutes where I have a bad attitude. Other people may not know, but I'm assuring you on the inside it's a bad attitude. This is not to rob you of joy. This is to point you to where the joy is. You see, living a life of holiness doesn't turn you into a prune. There are people whose sense of what holiness is and perfection is completely unlike Jesus. If you want to know what perfection looks like, look at Jesus. Read the Gospels and see what he was like. Kids loved being around him. Okay? If kids loved being around Jesus, do you think that Jesus was like this all the time? All right, children, sit still. I remember being in a evangelistic meeting in Charlotte, North Carolina when I was in elementary school. I was about 7 years of age. The preacher was not connecting with me. Okay? And so as he preached, my mind wandered, and as my mind wandered, so did my gaze. And I began looking at all the light bulbs in the room. And I decided if I would count them, that would probably last until the meeting was over. Because, I mean, there were tons of light bulbs. And so I started counting. And when, again, I got back this way, my dad said, Jimmy, stop. People will think something's wrong with you. Well, that did it. Act like this. I might not do it because I want to be tuned into the message. I might not do it because Dad said so. But I don't want people thinking something's wrong with me. Okay, not even in elementary school. I mean, it's one thing if something's wrong with you, but it's another thing if people know. Let me ask you, what are you aiming for? You wanting to look good? You want people to think well of you? Are you wanting just to be comfortable? Or do you want to be holy? Do you want to be like Jesus? So as you pray for your kids, whether your kids are in preschool or whether your kids are nearing retirement. Are you praying that they'll be physically healthy? That's fine. Are you praying that they'll be financially stable? That's fine. But those things are minor. Because God might use sickness or financial trouble in order to help them toward a much more important goal. What really matters is, are they holy? Are they becoming like Jesus? What's your prayer for yourself? Aim for perfection. Aim to be like him. That's what he says. That's what we must do.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.